The significance of the seventh trumpet. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so very much for the fact that we know that every act, every expression, every word that comes from you comes out of love because, Father, you are love. Lord, you cannot deny yourself. Whatever goes on in our life is because of your loving us. We thank you, Father, for manifesting that love when the Lord Jesus came and died on a cross for us. We thank you, Father, that your wrath fell upon him. And Father, when we receive the Lamb, we do escape your wrath. We pray, Father, as we study today, that Lord God, the Holy Spirit, will give us understanding. Help us to begin to start seeing it all come together. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's become incredibly obvious how important and significant the seventh trumpet is. Now, I know you're wondering, what does that have to do with the day of the Lord? It has a lot to do with it, and I want us to look at that. We know already, we've seen, or at least we believe it falls in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. The seventh trumpet is the last trumpet of the seventh seal. Now, remember, the seventh seal is the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet is the seven bowl judgments. So you have the seventh seal is the seven trumpets. And the seventh trumpet is the seven bowl judgments. It's the third woe that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 14. Let's go back and let's read these scriptures and make sure we're together in what we're going to be looking at tonight. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 14. It says the second woe is past, and it refers directly to the sixth trumpet, Revelation 11, 14. Then it says, behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Could not be anything else but the seventh trumpet, which involved in that are the seven bowl judgments. And I want you to look tonight at four things that directly relate to the seventh trumpet. Now, again, we believe so far from what we've studied, not because of anything we've read for sure, but we believe that the 70th week, 7 years we're talking about here, the middle of that right here is the seventh trumpet. Now, there are at least four, there are many more, but I'm going to tie four things to it tonight, and perhaps you begin to see the day of the Lord, where it fits on the calendar, where it fits in the 70th week of Daniel, and see all the bad things that are going to happen during that time. There are going to be four events. I'll just go ahead and put the arrows now. Four events. And they're all tied to the seventh trumpet. And I want us to begin looking at them and just walk our way through them. And the more I think we do this, the more it'll begin to come together for you. We're identifying landmarks. And you know what a landmark is? I know a friend of mine that deer hunts, and when they did one year, they were in a swamp, and they, instead of using what you would normally use, some ribbon or something, they used sheets of toilet paper. That's all they had. And to find their way back, they would just drop something, they would drop something, they would drop something. And what that was, it became a landmark. So that when you get out here and you get lost, you've got to come back to those landmarks. And that's what we've been identifying as we've taken each lesson, as we've gone through the study. Each one of these things begin now to fit together. And you got to watch for those landmarks to make sure you know where everything fits in on the scale. All right, the first thing that's associated that I want us to look at tonight that's associated with the seventh trumpet is the wrath of the beast. The wrath of the beast. Not just the beast, he's been around, but the wrath of the beast. Now, when I speak of the wrath of the beast being the Antichrist and the kingdom that will come around him. Now, let's go back and identify why do we know that the seventh trumpet is the middle of the 70th week. If you'll look at chapter 11 again, in verse 15, the seventh angel sounded. Now, this trumpet sounds, the seventh trumpet. What do we know about that? It says in verse 15 through 18, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. There's a seizing or a recognition of the fact that he is ruling and that he is reigning. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who sat on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worship God, saying, we give thanks O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who wast, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and thy wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to give the reward to thy bondservants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to those who fear thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Now that little passage right there appears to be synonymous with chapter 12 and verse 10. Now remember, chapter 12 is really a parenthetical chapter. It just basically explains a period there that's going to take place when the dragon is kicked out of heaven. But in verse 10, remembering the words of verse 15 of chapter 11, look at this similarity in chapter 12 and verse 10. Now, he said, that the salvation and the power, now watch, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God night and day. It appears that what we see in chapter 11 at the seventh trumpet is synonymous with what we see in chapter 12 and verse 10 and is associated with the devil, the dragon, being kicked out of the heavens down to the earth. Now we know that when the devil comes down to this earth, how long does he have? How much time does he have left before he's going to be taken over by the Lord and thrown into the pit? How long does he have? How much time does he have? 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days, however you want to say it. So when he comes down, he has 3.5 years. Now we know that he's somehow associated with the beast. If you look in chapter 13 and verse 4, and they worship the dragon. Now we know the dragon is Satan because he gave his authority to the what? To the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? And then in verse 5, and there was given to him, the beast, having been given the authority of the dragon, he says, a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act how long? For 42 months was given him. So we see 3.5 years. The wrath of this beast, the Antichrist, is directly associated, we believe, with the last 3.5 years. He's got 3.5 years. He's going to bring terrible wrath, particularly to Israel and to her offspring. Also, we know something else that happened. Right before the seventh trumpet, we find that the two witnesses have been taken up. As a matter of fact, they laid in the street for 3.5 days, and they're taken up right here. The two witnesses. Do y'all remember the night when I got my words tangled up? And I said, right here, the 2.5 witnesses go up. And instead of the mystery of God is over, I said, the sovereignty of God is finished. And then I said, the 24 elders sat on their face. Well, we all knew what I was talking about. Okay. They go up. Now, in chapter 11, chapter 11 in verse 3, and I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for how long? 1,260 days, 3.5 years. All right, now watch. If you jump over to verse 12 through 14, and this is after they had lain in the street for 3.5 days after they'd been slain, they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And in that hour, there was an earthquake, a tenth of the city fell, 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. So it gives you a specific signal there. At the end of the second woe, the beginning of the third, the two witnesses are taken up. So you got 3.5 years back this way. You got 3.5 years that way. The devil being thrown down, 3.5 years. Two witnesses going up, 3.5 years. So you got your 7-year period of time. Now, this event associated with the casting out of Satan from the heavens to the earth, him having 3.5 years, the two witnesses being taken up, pinpoints, I believe, the seventh trumpet to be the middle of the 70th week. Okay, actually, it sounds, right here, the seventh trumpet sounds. And the Greek term here, when it says the seventh trumpet is going to sound, is the term that means it sounds, appears to be, all the way through the seven bowl judgments. In other words, it's a trumpet, when it blows, covers all the way through the seven bowl judgments. Now, at this awful time in history, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. That's what I wanted you to see. We know how we identify the seventh trumpet, but the Antichrist at this point is going to be revealed. He's been on the scene since the first seal. He's been around for a long time. But now he's going to be ultimately revealed, okay? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Let's look over there. Matthew 24 and verse 15. Matthew 24 and verse 15. And it's associated with a term, and this term is very, very important. It's called the abomination of desolation. In Matthew 24 and verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation. Now, what in the world is that? All right, watch. Which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Talking about a man here. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, what are we talking about? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says, and he, speaking of that Antichrist, will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, for a period of 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. The Hebrew word for the word desolate means he will bring and cause horror among the people that will be his enemies. He will proclaim himself to be God. He will do this in the temple itself. This is called the abomination of desolation. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, right here, from this time, right here, it says, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. And it goes on to say 1,300 and some day. But we know that term, abomination of desolation, is very critical. And it identifies the revelation of the Antichrist. And when he comes, he'll be incarnated by the dragon, and for 3.5 years will reap havoc on this earth. So we can see how the beast or the Antichrist will be revealed at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, since the seventh trumpet is in the middle of the 70th week. You begin to put these things together. You're studying one thing at a time, but you're now starting to put them together. This arrogant, vile person will bring great wrath against Israel. If you look back in Revelation 13 and verse 6 and verse 7, Revelation 13, verse 6 and verse 7. And it talks about this Antichrist, and it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And it's going to be a time, not just of the beast, a time of the wrath of the beast. When he comes on the scene, that's not his full revelation. His full revelation, called the abomination, desolation, takes place in the middle of the 70th week. Now, why do I go back to the Antichrist? We've already studied that. Because it's significantly important as you begin to tie events to the seventh trumpet. Secondly, the beginning of the great tribulation is also associated with the seventh trumpet. The great tribulation. Obviously, there's going to be tribulation in this world. But the great tribulation is what we're talking about. Back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. And it says, through 21. Matthew 24. And what I want you to see, we've already read verse 15. But let's read it all here. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation. See, these terms are important. Let me put this back here. The wrath of the beast is associated with the abomination of desolation. And that's when he goes into the temple in the middle of the week, right here. And he identifies himself to be God, and I mean desecrates everything, and from that point is incarnated by Satan himself and takes over and brings great havoc on this earth. All right, that's the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea at that time flee to the mountains. All right. Verse 17, let him who's on the housetop not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in winter or in Sabbath. Verse 21, for, what's the next word? Then, right then, there will be a great tribulation. Is this significantly different than any other tribulation we face? Listen to the verse. Such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world unto now, and look, nor ever shall. So the term, the great tribulation, comes right from Matthew chapter 24. And we see it's got to be associated with the middle. If the Antichrist is identified in the middle of the week, the abomination of desolation, when he comes in, proclaims himself to be God, and there is incarnated by Satan. All these are synonymous terms. So you begin to fit these things together. The term abomination of desolation being our clue. It comes in the middle of the week. Matthew tells us it's the worst tribulation the world will ever see. And down in verse 29 and 30, it tells you what's going to happen at the end of it. Now, it doesn't give us a time period, but we know from other scriptures how long this is going to take place. It's got to be 3.5 years. How do we know that? Because at the end of the 70th week, what's going to happen? What's the significant event? Who's going to come out of heaven back down to this earth? The Lord's going to come. We know that at the end of the 70th week. All right? If we've got the middle and we've got Him being revealed, then we know that great tribulation that starts then has got to finish. And it finishes when He comes. Verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And what? What's the next word? Then, right then, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes on the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So there's something we've identified immediately. Even though the beginning of the Great Tribulation and the Great Tribulation starts here, it only goes for 3.5 years, because at this end, Christ comes. The Lord comes, and we see the signs in the heavens and all. So we see then that the seventh trumpet is becoming very, very significant. We find the Antichrist associated with him and his wrath, but we also find the fact that the great tribulation is associated with it. But thirdly, not only are those two associated with it, but I believe, and I think we're seeing, that the day of the Lord is associated with it. Now, how do we tie that into it? How do we know that that is the place? Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All of this you already know. Just trying to put some of it together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he's talking about the day of the Lord. He's not talking about the great tribulation. He's talking about the day of the Lord. Be real careful that you make synonymous the term day of the Lord with the term great tribulation, because they may be a little different. Now, I'll show you in just a second. Even though at the same time, part of it, but it's a little bit different. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you. The day of the Lord, he's speaking of, that's the context, will not come unless the apostasy comes first, the standing away from the gospel. And the man of lawlessness is what? Is revealed. Now, I made the mistake when I did 2 Thessalonians of thinking that he was going to be revealed when he signed the peace treaty with Israel. But we've got to be real careful about that. That's assuming that everybody understands that at that time. The real revelation of him, yes, he'll come on the scene. Oh, yes. But the real revelation is identified with that abomination of desolation, and it doesn't take place at the first part of the 70th week. It takes place in the middle. Now, if the day of the Lord cannot come until he is revealed, where does that put the beginning of the day of the Lord? It's got to put it right there, tied to somehow the seventh trumpet, because it can't come until he's revealed. When's he revealed? Seventh trumpet. It's tied together there. We're beginning to fit some things together. Now, one of the fears that you have about this time in a study like this is you want to jump ahead and say, but wait a minute, Wayne. Are you pushing a view? Somehow, are you trying to tell us that the church is going to be here during that time? I know. How many of you have had that run through your mind? Would you raise your hand if anybody in here has had that in your mind? Well, good, I'm the only one. All right, but if it does come to your mind, I'm just quicker than you are. All right, if it comes to your mind, that has nothing to do with it. That's not what we're discussing. All we're trying to do is let the Bible say what it says. That's all we're trying to do. And so far, we believe we've got it pretty well put together that these time periods are all somehow centering around the seventh trumpet. So it cannot come until the son of lawlessness or the man of lawlessness is revealed. When's that going to be? That's going to be in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. Now, Joel chapter 2, verse 2, Matthew 24, verse 21, Mark 13, verse 19, Daniel 12, 1 and 2 tell us this is a time of horrible distress. Now, it's going to overlap with this period right here called the Great Tribulation. It's going to overlap with it. Now, what do you mean? Overlap. Well, hang on. During this time, Jerusalem is going to be tread underfoot for 42 months or 3.5 years. Now, the difference between the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord is only in the length of time that they occur. Look with me at 2 Peter. And it appears now that 2 Peter gives us a time frame for the length of time here for the Day of the Lord. He tells how quickly it'll come. It'll come like a thief. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar. Now watch. And the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be what? Now, when you start associating the earth burning up, and you start associating all the elements being disappearing, you're not associating that with the end of the Great Tribulation, because at the 70th week, what does Jesus do? He comes to this earth, and what is he going to do for 1,000 years on this earth? He's going to rule and he's going to reign. Does that say that the earth's going to burn up? Is it? No. Somehow Peter looks at the whole period of time and jumps all the way to the end of how many years? 1,000-year reign. So you've got a difference here. Even though the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord will overlap for 3.5 years, it appears at this point, and as far as I can get it now, those of you that are much smarter than I am, come help me. But it appears to me that the Day of the Lord overlaps and goes all the way to the very end of the 1,000-year reign. Remember what started at the seventh trumpet. The kingdom of our Lord, the authority of His Christ, He's begun to reign. The Day of the Lord. And it's going to last all the way through, even to His coming to this earth. But is His wrath over with? Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. But He's still going to be here, and it's going to go all the way. What's going to happen at the very end of the 1,000-year reign? It's going to be a big battle, isn't it? Gog and Magog. And it's incredible how you put all this stuff together. But there's going to be some kind of battle at the end of that time. So it's not over with just because the Great Tribulation's finished. It appears that the Day of the Lord overlaps and goes all the way to the end of 1,000 years. So let me draw that up here. He comes, and I don't have this everything exact, but for 1,000 years, because there's some days in here, right in here at the end of the seventh week that I'm not for sure that we've got it all nailed down. For 1,000 years, He's going to rule and reign. Now, it appears that the Day of the Lord starts here, goes all the way through to right here. Of course, as far as I'm concerned, it's all His day. But as far as the Scripture speaks, it appears that it goes that long. So what's the difference? This is the Great Tribulation right here, the 3.5 years. And stops right here. What is the ending of it? The Son of Man coming in the sky. But the Day of the Lord continues. It goes all the way to the very end, to the new heavens, the new earth, and then we'll be with Him in the new city forever. Okay, so far we have some significant events and some things that ties to those events. If we're correct on the seventh trumpet, if we're correct, and it appears to me, I can't see it any different, but if I'm correct, then we've got the wrath of the beast beginning at the seventh trumpet. Boy, do you realize how much stuff's got to happen before the seventh trumpet? Woo, a lot of stuff goes in the first part of it. That's tied to it. How do we know? Well, that's when he's going to be fully revealed within his, and it's a time called the abomination of desolation, not only being a person, but the beginning of the reign of a person. Then secondly, we've got the beginning of the great tribulation starting. Why? Because it says after he's revealed, the abomination of desolation, there shall come a tribulation that has never been on this earth before. We know when it's going to end because it says at the ending of it, the Son of Man will come on the clouds, or he'll come rather, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All right, then thirdly, we've got the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord cannot come until the beast is revealed. The beast is not revealed until the middle of the 70th week. So what we're seeing is a lot of events beginning to tie themselves to the seventh trumpet. All right, let's move to the final one that I want us to look at tonight, and that's the wrath of God. It's also tied to that seventh trumpet. The wrath of God. Now, when you say the wrath of God, you're talking about the full wrath of God. Anything you see up to the seventh trumpet has been not the full wrath of God. Because instead of everybody being annihilated, one-third or one-fourth, whatever. But this is the full wrath of God when it falls with no mercy whatsoever on this earth. This is when the angel that comes out has those seven bowls. The temple fills with smoke, as you've already studied. A lot of people don't know what goes on at that time, why God won't allow anybody into the control tower when that takes place. But I want to give a suggestion, something you can chew on. We won't know till we get to heaven. But I believe perhaps he might be weeping because you remember he's a God of love and has done everything he can do to save mankind. And mankind has spit in his face, and now comes the moment of truth when he has to bring the judgment on this earth. And Peter says, he's not slow as men count slowness, but he wishes that none should perish and none should lose the gift of eternal life. And to me, we don't know what goes on in there, but nobody's allowed in when those seven bowls are dropped. The seventh trumpet is the seven bowls. All right, now that contains the wrath of God. Now, many people think that the wrath of God begins back at the sixth seal. If you go back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17, it seems to indicate that. It says the great day of their wrath has come. But let me just show you something. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17, beginning in verse, let's look at verse 15 down through verse 17 of Revelation 6. This is the sixth seal now. Remember, the seventh seal contains the seven trumpets, the seventh trumpet, the seven bowls. All right, look with me in verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now that makes a lot of sense. Does the wrath of God begin with the sixth seal? But there's a problem here, and I don't know why a lot of folks have not seen this. This is the people themselves declaring that the wrath of the Lamb has come. Friend, they haven't seen anything yet. It doesn't mean that when the wrath of God falls, that's His only wrath. Romans says, chapter 1, I think it's in verse 18, the wrath of God is already, right now, coming. And it's judging unrighteousness on this earth. But what we're talking about in the seven bowl judgments is the wrath of God. Every bit of wrath of God that you can ever think of summed up and to put in seven bowls are going to be dropped on this earth. When it says it is done at the end of it, it doesn't mean that it's never going to appear again, because he's going to show some of that wrath later on when he judges Satan finally in the great white throne judgment. But what he's saying there is it's fulfilled its purpose. God is going to deal with unrighteousness, and it's going to be quickly, and it's going to be in the midst of seven bowl judgments. So the wrath of God, to me, let me show you the difference. Here the kings and the people are declaring the wrath of God has come. But look at the difference. Look over in chapter 11 and look who's declaring it's come over there. It's a difference. Hey, if I'm on the earth, I'm going to say, woo, can't get any better than this. The wrath of God can't get any bigger than this. Not better. Oh, great. Bigger than this. can't get any worse than this. Woo, the mind is a terrible thing and must be stopped in our lifetime before it kills somebody. Can't get any worse than this. That's what I meant to say. Woo! Sometimes my mind and my mouth do not work together. It can't get any worse than this. But I guess so if you're going through it. How many times have you gone through a situation and said, whoo, it can't get any worse than this? Oh, yes, it can. Just hang around for a while. But see, this is the wrath that comes later on. Now watch. In chapter 11, the elders, we read this a minute ago, but I read it quickly and I want you to see it. The elders in chapter 11, verse 18. And the nations were enraged. This is all when seventh trumpet is blown. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. And the nations were enraged, and it's in quotes, and thy wrath came, and thy wrath came, and thy wrath came. Who says it came? Back up. And the 24 elders who sit on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks. And then they go on to say, and the nations were enraged, and thy wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged. Now, it's one thing for the people to say the wrath of God has come. It's another thing for the elders who are in heaven at the throne to say, thy wrath came. And so, to me, the bold judgments is the wrath, the final, full, without mercy, wrath of God that's falling upon this earth. Look in chapter 16 in verse 1. He puts it in seven bowls. Remember, this is a book of symbols. It tells us that in chapter 1. What does the term seven indicate to you? That's a perfect number, right? Seven. All right, now watch. And I heard a loud voice, even though there are seven bowls, but it's interesting that seven also means something else. I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the seven bowls of the what? Of the wrath of God into the earth. Now, to me, that is significantly different than what the people are saying in the sixth seal. This is the wrath of God, the seven bowls, and it's associated directly with the seventh trumpet. Look in verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air. And this is the last of the seven bowls that are poured out. And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, what? It is done. So you see that the wrath of God, for the purpose of which he's already designed it, is associated with the seventh trumpet, and there's seven bowls of it. It starts and it's finished. And the word there does not mean it never appears again. It means it's fulfilled its purpose. It's done what it was intended to do. As a matter of fact, remember it says it was cut short for the sake of those that were the saints of that time. Of course, the people that came to know, the ones that he took up. He said it was for their sake. It was cut short, the time period there. So it's done what it was purposed to do. Now, I don't know if this is too simple for you, because I know when you go through your first hour, it's one thing to go into a classroom and say, what if it means this? What if it means that? I don't know if one of them means this. It's another thing to put it together in this hour. I want you to know, woo, is it different? So what I'm trying to do in the simplest way I can is to start trying to tie these events together so that in your mind, when you start hearing somebody talking about this and they say, hey, the day of the Lord begins way back here at the first seal, you think to yourself, that's interesting. Is that when the abomination of desolation takes place? How could that be? Because that doesn't take place until the middle of the week. And the day of the Lord cannot occur until the man of lawlessness is revealed. And Matthew says, when you see that one standing in the temple, let the reader understand. Then, so you begin to start putting things together. You begin to hinge off of things. To say that we're going to get all the answers in Revelation, that's ridiculous. I told you, I think in one of these courses, the definition of a heretic is a person who says, I've got it all figured out in Revelation. Back off, because when the lightning strikes, I don't want to carry a little rod around. You're not going to get all the answers. But at least we can see the wrath of the beast, not the beast, the wrath of the beast. Understand, incarnated by Satan himself. The great tribulation, its beginning and its end, is associated with that seventh trumpet. The day of the Lord is associated with it, but the day of the Lord, from what we studied, appears to go all the way through the 1,000 years. And then the wrath of God, his unmerciful wrath, is going to fall finally on this earth. And when it does, it's going to start and it's going to be over. It's going to be done. And at the end of that, we're going to see the Son of Man come to this earth. And we know for 1,000 years he'll rule and he'll reign. on this earth. I could have tied some other things to it. I tell you what, we were talking before we started tonight. I was telling somebody, if I was on the earth and knew any of this, I'd pack my bags and leave. But the problem is you can't run anywhere, can you? And when you want to die, you can't die. And you're going to pray the mountains will fall on you. Son, it's going to be some terrible times on this earth. And I bring us back to something we've mentioned several times. The psalmist says, who has known the wrath of God? There's only one person that's known the wrath of God so far. The full, unmerciful wrath of God. And that is the Lord Jesus himself. His Father, the sky blackened. He had to turn his back to him because of the sin that he took upon himself. That's why 1 Thessalonians can say, and I got a letter from some dear soul who said, you're crazy when you say we're not to ever to experience the wrath of God. Well, all I know is what 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says. If I'm crazy, then I don't understand it. It says we are not destined for wrath, the wrath of God. Why? Because we received the Lamb who took the wrath. And now the wrath is going to fall. Thank God for the Lamb. Thank Him for the Lamb. I'm glad today I'm saved. I'm just thankful for the Lamb. I'm just grateful to be a part of the household of God. A living stone is being built into the temple of God. I'm glad I'm the dwelling of God on this earth along with you and brothers and sisters, and we're one giant family. So let's take it one more week. It's like a puzzle. You keep putting it together. I'm going to try my best to just stay as simple as I can so we can keep tying it to stuff and begin to get some hinges here. Abomination of desolation, revelation of the Antichrist. These kinds of things now will play more and more of a role as we go through. Thanks for coming. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that you just reveal yourself and Lord, in your word. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us the deep things of God. I thank you, Father, we're not going to see all this at one time. But Father, the more we stay in it, the more it makes sense. And the more we can realize the tremendous grace of being able to say that we are called a son of God, a child of God. And Father, I just pray that as we leave tonight, we'll remember to be overwhelmingly grateful to you. But at the same time, Father, that we will be overwhelmingly burdened to take the message of the gospel to as many as we can get it to. Give us an opportunity, Father, to witness to others that do not know this truth and do not know this hope. Because, Father, we recognize the hour is late. And we praise you, Father, for the opportunity that you can use us in Jesus' name. Amen.